from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
You walk into a stadium, 8,000 people, they all want you to lose. But as long as you got your 26 guys ready to kick ass or kick butt, you're going to be all right.
Sports Talk Saturday.
I heard a fan offer free Dippin' Dots if I blew it, which the price of Dippin' Dots with inflation is just unreal. So for a brief moment, I was like, damn, Dippin' Dots sound good. But also, I thought in the back of my head, we win today, we win tomorrow, or tonight. We're going to be here another day. That's more per diem. So that means I can buy my own Dippin' Dots and be a winner.
On WGR.
I think three words every time I'm out there. The first one's a swear word, starts with F. Second word's attack. The third one's win. And I just repeat that to myself. Unless, you know, there's a breach in the system and a walkie guy, and I got to tell myself I'm a few different things that isn't a winner.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome in, Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer here, Evan on the board. We got plenty of guests here for you today, but that intro makes a pretty interesting point. You know the tagline about Dippin' Dots being ice cream of the future? And it's been like that tagline for like 20 years.
The future was actually said? I never heard
that.
That was their tagline
for the longest time. And it never became the ice cream of the future. Like, they're still alive, so good on them. But a little pretentious, don't you think, Dippin' Dots? Because the first thing you do when you go and get Dippin' Dots, you go, I paid $8 for this little half a cup of ice cream particles. This is not ice cream of the future. This is ice cream of you're stuck at the zoo, and if you want to come back in, you have to pay more to come back in. That's what that is. So, Dippin' Dots. Thumbs down from me. I'm not a Dippin' Dots guy. Evan, are you a Dippin' Dots guy?
Not really. I'd rather get a...
I'd rather get ice cream than Dippin' Dots. You'd rather have ice cream of the present and not the future?
Yes.
Yes.
And plus, also, the lines for Dippin' Dots is just outrageous.
But,
I went to Star Wars night. The line for Dippin' Dots was literally going from where the line was probably to all the way. It was just not worth it.
Wait. And they offer actual ice cream at the ballpark, right?
Yes.
And people are willingly choosing to wait in line for... Wait, hang on.
No, I think
I'm not going to trash on that, actually, because people are... Like, the kids are probably the ones saying, I want Dippin' Dots. Because we've all done it as kids.
Right.
We've all irritated our parents saying, I want Dippin' Dots, Mommy! And, and they just stand there irritated, like, oh, I got to wait in line for this fabrication of ice cream. Like...
we've all tormented our parents with that. At the bottom, I feel like
it can't get soggy. It just melts.
Yeah,
that's not soggy. That's just melted. Can ice cream be soggy? I don't think ice cream can be soggy. Put it on the poll. Are you a Dippin' Dots guy/gal?
803-0550.
Yeah, are you a Dippin' Dots person? But. No, like that, like Dippin' Dots. I heard that intro and my brain again did that thing where I put TNT on the show and just start off with not what I originally intended. But that said, it's time to wheel it back in. Stanley Cup Finals. Oh, excuse me. Stanley Cup Final.
Which is literally the...
I'll talk to Brayton about that. Brayton Wilson joins us at noon. He'll co-host with me for the rest of the show. And I have that bone to pick about the Stanley Cup Final being today. Game one, Florida, Edmonton. And I'm going to say something that might upset some people. And I don't really care because this is what I truly believe. If you were upset or are now actively cheering for the Florida Panthers because of what Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch had to say, you're soft.
People need to grow up on that, garbage.
No, ready? It's simple. You're soft. I'm sorry to say this, but he used a realistic piece of evidence to quash a narrative. And that should not change your loyalty. That tells me you were already wanting to cheer for the Panthers anyway. That's all that tells me. You just decided to say it in a little more angry, butthurt kind of way. Not a standard way. Like, this was not a big deal, and people made this into something when it was a true nothing burger. Chris Knobloch saying about the Panthers reaching the Stanley Cup Final for the second straight year, dealing with a team with experience there. You can ask the Buffalo Bills how important Super Bowl experience is. Did the Bills get better in those years when they came back after losing a Super Bowl and returned to the Super Bowl? No. As a matter of fact, they lost by more points than the first one that they went to each time. Because the first one they went to, they lost by 1 point. That's as close as you can lose a Super Bowl. Simple. Now? No. Like, the year after that? No. The year after that? No. What about that fourth year? Definitely no. Like, they got blown out each of the other three times they showed up. So, let's not pretend that the Panthers having Stanley Cup final experience matters in this context. It doesn't. And he tried to quash it with the biggest piece of evidence that there was. Like, the Bills didn't improve getting there the year prior. It's not like they leveled up. Oh man, I lost the Super Bowl. No, they just had to come back. And you know why? They had talent. The Florida Panthers are back in the Cup Final because they have talent. And they play well. And they're well coached. So anyone that changed their mind saying go Panthers or like, oh, like I never want to see Edmonton win now, you were already heading that way. Or you are 10 ply soft.
Let's also remember that the Oilers have a guy that's, I can't think of his name, but he's a Bills, he's from Buffalo. Or he's, Sal talks about him all the time. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he's a big Bills fan and he plays on the Oilers. If people are upset about that, people need to stop.
Taking it too seriously?
Yes. And people then just need to get off of social media and just honestly just stop.
Have a barbecue. The weather is grilling material now.
Yeah.
Grill a burger. Don't be mad about this.
These are the people that get upset when Nick Wright starts talking about how much the Bills are.
Well, Nick Wright has a job to attract viewers. Chris Knobloch could care less about what anyone says about that comment. And what he's using, though, is actual evidence to prove a point.
Now,
which is true.
Is he talking about the 90s Bills, or is he talking...
He's talking about the 90s Bills.
Okay.
Yeah, which is exactly what this is. Because, oh, hey, the Panthers, they have cup experience and all this other wondrous stuff. And it didn't matter. Like, this does not matter to them. Like, it should not matter. Cup experience? What is that? You lost. That's what that is. And I don't know. It was just this weird thing to see people get upset about. Especially Bills fans. Like, I don't know. And I don't, like, it just, nothing about this is sensical if you're a Bills fan that you're getting mad about what the Oilers coach says. Because it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. You're taking the Bills way too seriously at that point if that's the case. Go outside, grill a burger, grill a dog, and have yourself a day. A good day. Because that was there's no reason for people to get mad at that. None at all. It makes... I don't want to say it makes us as a fandom look like a joke, but it definitely does feed into the insecurity of Bills Mafia sometimes where you say one bad thing about the Bills and people jump down your throats. So I don't know. It was just one of these things where there was too much reaction to it, honestly. Too much reaction to what is actually a nothing burger. Yeah, I'm not sure why people got mad at this. I'm still pulling for Edmonton. I think Florida's a dirty team. I have zero respect for Matthew Tkachuk. And that is actually... That's my problem, is that the Florida Panthers play dirty. And I don't like them. And I knew it was going to be between them and New York. And I would have rather dealt with one dirty player than a team full of them. And unfortunately, well, there it is. Oh, and all these former Sabres are here. So if you really want to look out for the city of Buffalo's best rooting interests, it should be Edmonton. Why? Because A, way too many former Sabres are on that team, and everyone can go ahead and stare back at the city and go, what do you guys do here, Sabres? Like, what do you do? Like, what is your purpose? And two, also being... I think for the sport, it's probably really cool to see the best player in the league actually get there and win. But that's just me on that second part. I'm not worried
about
that.
That. I agree with that.
But I will hate seeing an entire, like, what is it? Like, legitimately a third of their roster is Buffalo Sabres players.
Right.
Like, that's bad. That makes you look terrible. Not that the Sabres already don't look terrible. They don't need that help. And yet, if Florida wins a cup with all these players... Most of them having prominent roles for several seasons.
I think if Florida wins this is going to be the bigger gut punch than O'Reilly winning it and Eichel winning it. Now, O'Reilly right now, I think, is the bigger gut punch because not only did he win the cup, he also won the Conn Smythe and went to a team that was last in the NHL and... Then won the Stanley Cup.
I will say this, though.
I don't feel as bad. This one would probably hurt more just off the fact that everybody from that...
You also
the talent on that team
you also let a legitimate star go in a different way. Like, everyone talks about Jack Eichel's exit. Sam Reinhart's was more heartbreaking for fans.
Oh, I can imagine. I know.
Because Eichel... irritated people on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Reinhart did not. Reinhart was absolutely the good soldier that,
just wanted to get paid and he hated getting these short-term contracts.
He got bridge-dealed by Botterill to a point where they did not have a plan for him. And that would allow me to say that Jason Botterill, yeah, you were not ready for being an NHL GM. Like, that's all that was. You're an AGM, and that's probably your peak. You're probably not getting another GM job based on how badly you botched it, considering, ready, a third of the Panthers roster is players that he either had inherited or collected actively to that team. So thanks, Jason Botterill. Thanks, Tim Murray. Way to amplify the pain up to 11 with your poor mismanagement of rosters after acquiring good players. So, yeah, I there's no way I'm a fan of seeing the Florida Panthers lift the Stanley Cup. There's just, I want 0.0% of that in my life. And am I going to get it anyway? Yes, because life sucks, then you die. And that's how it goes cheering for sports. The other part of this to me is just, again, don't take yourself too serious. Don't take a team too seriously that someone throws in, even if it was a legitimate pot shot. It shouldn't matter. Like, it really shouldn't. Knobloch saying what he said was to quash the narrative of Stanley Cup experience being a thing. And there's no reason to get upsetty spaghetti about any of it, quite frankly. Am I killing time right now because I need to find the live read? Yes. But now it's time to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go out to Rob in Connecticut. Rob, welcome into another Sports Talk Saturday. How you doing?
Derek, I want Dippin' Dots.
No, Rob. We're not waiting 15 minutes in line.
I want Dippin' Dots. I want them now.
You hear that everywhere. Zoo, a ballpark, everywhere. Good job, Rob. You nailed it.
No, I had to because I was cracking up when the kids, you know. It's like, oh, my Dippin' Dots. Yeah, go dip your own dots, kid. Anyways, I had to get on with you because you're one of my favorites. You're definitely one of my favorites because you always keep it real. But, you know, this whole thing with Knobloch comparing the Panthers to the Buffalo Bills. First off, you know, he could have used any other team in the NFL. Thanks for giving us a shout-out. Buffalo Bills, great. That's awesome, you know? I mean, we must have did something right. And what we did right was we went to 4 Super Bowls in a row. So a lot of times when people, you know, they'll throw that in my face, well, you never won the Super Bowl. It was like, yeah, but has your team ever gone to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row? That's a winning team, all right? Yeah, we didn't win it. Yes, I was disappointed as a Buffalo Bills fan, but we went to 4 Super Bowls in a row. That means that was a good team, all right? Wait for the future. We will get there, and we are not going to lose the next one. Mark my word, we will not lose the next one. But anyways, as far as the Stanley Cup finals, and I said it, finals, and if anybody out there has a problem with it, oh well, get over it. Get over it. I understand the whole thing, final, because there's 2 teams, it's final. All right? Anyways, as far as it goes, I am rooting for Edmonton. I'm all in on Edmonton because of Connor McDavid. He deserves it. I want to see him raise the cup. I do not like the Florida Panthers, but if they do win it, Paul Maurice, he deserves it. And the only thing that, the one thing you were talking about is the Florida Panthers are a very, very chippy team, and that's what they do. They want to mentally get that, they want to get inside the other team's head with the aggressive play and the roughness. That's how they win their games. So if they draw that other team that they're playing into their game, that's what they do. They want you to get rough and aggressive with them. And it's crazy how they play their game. They mentally get inside your head. If Edmonton keeps their composure and if they're able to capitalize on the power play, see, that's where I think the Florida Panthers are going to make the mistake. If they get too rough and chippy and they wind up in the penalty box, that's how Edmonton's going to win this game because they have one of the greatest power play teams in the league, if mm-hmm. not the best. And that's what I'm looking forward to, definitely. Definitely looking forward to that. But, you know, what Knobloch said, that didn't bother me. And exactly. It's like, are you going to allow that to bother you? That there's more tragedies in life than just a coach comparing something to something else. Mm-hmm. Wah, 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 wah. So anyway, Derek, Evan, always a pleasure. WGR 50, the best radio station every day of my life I listen. Have a great weekend.
Rob, you too, man. Always good to hear from you, and I appreciate that. And that was a bang-on imitation with the Dippin' Dots. I hope we clipped that because that's probably open material right there. But yeah, no, this is just, it's as simple as, you know what, why get bothered by that? He used historical evidence to back something up. And the thing about history is it doesn't look at second place in sports very favorably. And that's just the reality that we have to look at. The Bills never won one with that stretch They didn't. And you know what comes with that territory? Well, pot shots, usually, or straight up jokes. He's not using it as a pot shot. He's not using it as a joke. He's just using it as evidence. So I got a little annoyed about that this week. And yes, it's weird to be annoyed about what people are annoyed about, but you know, it was an interesting thing that I had to bring up as a talking point, as kind of the opening salvo of the day. Dippin' Dots be damned. But yeah, it was just one of these things where I don't care. Yeah, I shouldn't care about that. And if you were thinking that you were going to start cheering for the Panthers because of that, you were already leaning that way. That alone did not change your mind. You were already heading that direction, and you found your excuse. You didn't really want Edmonton to win anyway. You didn't have a major stake in it, basically. You didn't have a general rooting interest in it, and you were just trying to take it personally so that you had one. And here, around here, you shouldn't. Because there's good things for both sides of it. Like, yeah, you've got a bunch of former Sabres, some of them very likable, some of them not, that could win a cup. You have, on the other side, the greatest player in hockey in its current moment, getting to a cup final. And it's just as simple as there should just be an enjoyable hockey series here. And that said, Stanley Cup Final is the dumbest name in all of sports. Why? Because final, I get what, like, as Rob had pointed out, like, there's two teams, like, it is the end. That said, is it one game? No. There's 4-7. That means it's finals. The NHL, like, is wrong.
I feel like the NHL is trying to
be different,
and it's not a good way to be different.
No, you know what they're doing? They're refusing to change. That's what that is.
Because
it's always been the Stanley Cup Final.
For the longest time, I always thought it was that the NBA trademarked the phrase "the finals," so they weren't allowed to use it. That's what I always thought, was that the NBA used finals and they trademarked that, and so the NHL couldn't use that. But if the NHL is doing that just because, is the most ridiculous thing ever. And it's so NHL. Really, it's so NHL that they find a way to really just make something that could be a cool name, the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah.
And just like, you know what, we're just not going to put one letter in that makes it sound correct.
Yeah. But again, it's just, there's 4-7 games. Therefore, it is a plural. That's why. That's why it's the NBA Finals. Because there's 4-7 games. It is not one game ends all. The Super Bowl. If the Super Bowl was played 4-7 times to determine the champion, it would be the Super Bowls.
It would sound weird if it was the Super Bowls.
It would be weird if there were 4-7 times that you have to play a football game to determine a champion.
I know.
Or even three, like a best of three series. Like, that would just be weird in itself. But no, it's winner take all. So there's one game. In the Stanley Cup Final, there are more than one game. And the sentence that I just said was not grammatically correct. Therefore, that's why it upsets me.
And I'm sure everybody calls it the finals.
Yeah, people do it because we're lazy, or no, not lazy, because we're trying to speak proper English.
Mm-hmm.
All right, before I get off track on that, we got to have time to get to Pat Malacaro. He comes up next. We'll talk some baseball, some Bisons, kick around the MLB a little bit here and see what is going on around the diamond in June here. Sports Talk Saturday, we roll on. The burning question of the day will be coming up a little bit after we talk to Pat. Derek Kramer here. Brayton Wilson joins me at noon. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them,
they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
1-2 pitch. Breaking ball flipped in the air to left field. This is trouble. Muziati looking up. The Bisons go back-to-back. Riley Tirado's second home run of the night. This time to left field. 5-1 Bisons.
Pat Malacaro on the call there as the Buffalo Bisons getting a win last night as they try to get themselves stabilized within the IL East. And we'll talk about the Bisons and plenty more here as one of the best people in all of Western New York media when it comes to not just this station and the Bisons as well, but you'll hear Pat calling Niagara basketball. You'll hear him anywhere. And we're lucky to have him here on the West Her Hotline. Pat, it's good to hear from you again. How you doing?
Great, Derek. You're too kind. Glad to chat with you today. It was an exciting win yesterday, and the Bisons finally snapped the losing streak. So it's a good day here in Allentown so far.
And there you go. But the Bisons, obviously, they have plenty of work to do here in the IL East. They're right at the midpoint of the standings there in the International League East Division, sitting at 31-30. And like you just said, they ended a nasty losing streak, but they are still a team that is at least trying to keep things going here. They're still a very good team with run differential. They still score plenty of runs. Pat, what is this Bison season looking like so far for Buffalo and how it can improve for them going forward?
Yeah, it's an offensive-heavy team this year for the Bisons, and that's by design. Whether it's you heard the highlight of Riley Tirado, his home run came right after Robles Martinez, team-leading and International League-leading 15th home run of the season. He's the number two prospect in the Blue Jay organization, according to MLB Pipeline, one of the rating services, and he's a top 100 prospect. So you've got Robles Martinez, Addison Barger, who made his major league debut this year, another top prospect, and there's a bunch more offensively for the team that have led to that plus 27 run differential you're talking about. The pitching staff is more of a work in progress, and I think that's kind of where we see minor league baseball right now. I don't think this is unique to the Blue Jays in general, and to kind of build on that point, you look at some of the pitchers that have come to Buffalo in the last year or two. Their guys have been drafted post-COVID, whether it's 2021 or 22. There's fewer leagues in minor league baseball now. The short season leagues are gone. There's fewer roster spots available. So pitchers are moving up through organizations quicker, and pitching will catch up. It just takes longer. So whether it's someone like Chad Dallas, who's a top pitching prospect, besides Ricky Tiedemann, who's on the injured list right now, both those guys not with the team. There's some very good pitching that will eventually catch up to the hitting, but right now it's definitely the offense that's had to carry the way for a team that's still a game over 500.
But you mentioned it with the offensive heavy team, and you know people do love flocking to teams that can score runs. This is sounding like the Sabres of a couple of years ago, Pat, of a team that, like you just said, offensive by design, and a group that really has an opportunity to just power their way to try to get to wins in their schedule.
Yeah, a team that has one of the best batting averages. You talk about power numbers. Well, the unique part of this year's team, the Bisons have been built for speed the last couple of years. Someone like Cam Eaton's back this year, had 53 stolen bases last year, which is the most since the Bisons came back to AAA baseball in 1985. No one had had more stolen bases in a single year. The year before that, there was a couple of base stealers that had big totals. So they're basically built on speed, not power. This year they've added a lot of power, but then someone like Spencer Horwitz or Nathan Lucas, both those guys have spent parts of two seasons with Buffalo going into this year. They're both the last two team MVPs in Lucas's case, 2022, Horwitz last year in 23. Spencer Horwitz had the best on base percentage in the International League in almost 40 years last year, and he was even better at it this year. So you talk about the offense being there. It's not just they hit home runs. They've played good situational baseball, and it was no surprise that when the announcement came out yesterday that Spencer Horwitz had joined the Blue Jays out in Oakland, it was only a matter of time when he was going to go back to the big leagues. He and Lucas, two of the top hitters in the International League at 333 or higher this year. Their on base is really good for Horwitz, adding a lot of extra base hits, doubles, and even a couple of the triples and homers added in the mix. So he's done everything that the Blue Jays have asked for in a top prospect in the organization. And then Lucas, somebody who's just a solid all-around player that's more of a veteran on the team. But again, another guy that just can slap the ball over the field, add an occasional pop here and there, and the Bisons really have a nice mix this year of speed and power.
Pat, you mentioned the Blue Jays, and I am admittedly a baseball casual with this sort of stuff, and I look at the standings, and what happened to Toronto?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a disappointment. There's no other way to put it. I think they would admit that as well. And you look at this, the offense hasn't been there. Someone like Bo Bichette, who has led the American League in batting before. He's one of the top hitters in the American League in the last 5 years. Had a really slow start to the season. You saw him start to come out of it a couple of weeks ago, and he's figured it out. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the power numbers haven't been there yet, but he's hitting the ball hard, and those singles and doubles are turning into extra base hits and home runs now. So the offense just really struggled. When someone like Daniel Vogelbach just really couldn't get the offense going at the start of the year, not that he was a key piece, but when his number was called, you're hoping that Vogelbach will come up with a couple of big hits, a home run here or there. That just wasn't the case. So for the Blue Jays, you talk about the Bison offense carrying the weight the first 2 months of the season. For Toronto, it's been their pitching that's had to carry the weight of the team so far. And that's a pitching staff that you go back to last year, outside of an Alek Manoah injury, and he's injured again now, and he'll undergo elbow surgery soon, not yet knowing the severity. But Chris Bassitt has been a workhorse for the Blue Jays since signing going into last year. Kevin Gausman, a free agent signing, has been a workhorse. Yusei Kikuchi had a bounce back year that maybe some didn't expect last year. And oh, by the way, Jose Berríos was the pitcher of the month this year to start the season, and he's looking like another all-star season is coming from him. So there's your top four starters, and then mix in your fifth starter here or there. You know, the starting pitching staff has been relatively healthy, and for starting pitching, that's not always the case going on now a second season. That's really been the issue, is the pitching is the starting pitching has been there. The bullpen, a little bit of a different story, did injuries and pitchers not maybe performing up to, again, the standard they've set for themselves. But the offense has really been the surprising part that they've been trying to hit their way out of, and they're starting to come around, as evidenced by, you know, winning 2 out of 4 against Baltimore after dropping the first two of the series. It looked like, you know, all right, this is really going to go south quickly, but they found a way to come up with two big wins against the Orioles, you know, top team in the American League East, and now can maybe parlay that, even though they only scored one run last night, the Blue Jays, you know, maybe find a way to get back to multi-hit, multi-run game tonight against Oakland.
Pat, you mentioned the struggles offensively with the Blue Jays, and now I found it. They are the fifth worst in the MLB in runs for, so a very shocking thing considering the roster and the promise that they had shown just a couple of years ago, even in the AL East. And like you said, they're trying to stabilize themselves, and hopefully they can climb their way back and see what kind of interesting moments they can create here in what hopefully is not a truly lost season with that core.
Yeah, you've got over a half a year left. And I think when you look at things, sure, you're not going to win the AL East. I mean, the Yankees are, I mean, right now they're them and the Phillies are the two best teams in baseball. So you're talking about trying to claim one of those three wild card spots. Baltimore looks like they're going to get one of those. So now we're whittling it down to two wild card spots. Does someone from the AL Central or the West come out and pick off one of those? So you're going to fight for one of those last two playoff spots, and you've got plenty of time to get the ship going in the right direction, whether it's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. home runs, Bo Bichette hitting at the pace that he's at right now to kind of get things going again. And oh, by the way, those were the two that combined for the lone run last night in the eighth inning for the Blue Jays against Oakland. So you're going to need those guys to continue to step up. And then you get production out of guys like Dalton Varshow, Danny Jansen, who was having a career year before, again, injuries kind of sidelined him and derailed things last year. He's picked up kind of where he left off last year. You may remember he started the year on the injured list after being hit by a pitch in spring training, was with the Bisons for about a week, and has gone back to the big leagues and provided a really nice stabilizing force behind the plate and the offense for Toronto as well. So I think there's a lot of signs. And then, you know, look, the surprise that was David Schneider last year. Nobody expected him to go to the big leagues and have a historic weekend at Fenway Park the way he did. But he has done well enough to stay in Toronto with the Blue Jays, and he's been a spark plug for the team and a guy who, you know, it's an easy story to root for. Somebody who was not a high-round draft pick, drafted out of high school, thought about giving up baseball just a couple of years ago, stuck with it, and made a major league debut that no one had ever had in that ballpark in Boston, and has really gone on to have a really nice year and a half now for Toronto.
Pat Malacaro joining us here on the West Hur Hotline. Pat, I want your thoughts on this, because, like, obviously it's been a big news story over the past couple of years now of the frequency and severity of pitching injuries and surgeries that have been happening throughout baseball as a whole. I kind of want to pick your brain on that and what you think might help with this tension that these pitchers are dealing with when it comes to the severity and frequency of injuries that have been happening to them.
I think it's a combination of bigger, faster, stronger isn't always better. And I think there is something to, you know, when you're coming up, and these injuries don't happen in a vacuum or a silo. They don't happen just, you know, let's take Alec Manoah, for example, because he's the latest Blue Jay pitcher to have an elbow injury. It didn't just happen recently. These are injuries that build up over time in a lot of cases, at least from my experience anecdotally. And I think you can go back to pitch usage and the way the breaking ball in the want to get the best spin rate or the best break from left to right on a slider becoming a sweeper. You know, all these different things are great and they've made the game better and they made the game more exciting. But I do think they do add to the injury volume that we see these days. Guys throwing 100 miles an hour more frequently than before. That puts more stress and tension on the elbow. You know, back when I first started working in baseball in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was a lot of shoulder injuries. There wasn't a lot of Tommy John surgery and elbow injuries. But now, as you've seen, the reliance on more breaking pitches, the more, you know, torque on the arm, the more that you have to get the elbow involved in more of the break and the spin rotation and all those different things, I think you're seeing a lot more elbow injuries because of it. I don't happen to think that it's due to the pitch clock. I think that is an easy thing to point to and say, well, pitchers have to throw the ball faster than they are in less time between pitches than they ever had to before. It must be contributing to the injuries, maybe to a small extent. But I do think at the minor league level here, it's something we've been seeing the pitch clock being enforced since 2021. And I really haven't seen anecdotally a huge uptick in elbow injuries in minor league pitchers. But at the big league level, where you're trying to use all these data points, which are great and they're very helpful, you know, whether it's in the off season, the lack of time off for guys that are now training all year round, mm-hmm. I think that has something to do with it as well. And you can look to youth sports in that respect as well of, you know, these are year round sports activities now, instead of, you know, taking time off to play other sports, you're more focused on maybe one over another these days. So I think, you know, from a young age, all these injuries kind of add up over time. And I do think when you look at the whole picture, it's not just in the silo of the vacuum of, well, it just happened now. It's kind of an issue that will continue to happen if the trend continues the same way as we use more data points and more ways of trying to get an upper hand on the hitting.
I knew I could get a quality answer out of you, Pat, out of that question, because it's one that is fascinating around baseball circles. And I was like, you know what? I need to ask Pat about this, because Pat's going to bring me something that that I can always not only understand, but, you know, just not long ago, he's got this. So, Pat, bangers only when it comes to talking points.
Hey, always great chatting with you, Derek. you know, love to chat more often, so don't hesitate.
Oh, we'll make it happen. And I am ashamed you're not going to be able to play with us in the 11-day power play this year. I had you last year. It's unfortunate that the schedule did not allow us to get you back for another season here.
Hey, never say never. We'll always try for next year as well.
Absolutely. Pat Malacaro, thank you. And Bison's taking on Lehigh Valley tonight. When it comes to promotions, what's coming up in the coming week for the Bisons?
Yeah, the team will return home on Tuesday night, a Tuesday promotion where $2 hot dogs at the ballpark. It's a dog day. So if you want to bring your four-legged friend, they get to come to the game for free if you purchase a game ticket. There's a pregame dog parade this time around against the Worcester Red Sox. Another thing, now that we've transitioned now past Memorial Day, this is kind of, you know, we're unofficial summer now. The schedule during the week for a lot of cases will go to 6:35. So that's one thing to note as well. During before Memorial Day, the weeknight games are usually at 6:05. We're to the summer now, so we're transitioning to 6:35. Friday night will be another Honda Friday Night Bash. A pregame happy hour, postgame fireworks. That's a 7 o'clock start. 6:35 on Saturday again, and then Father's Day at the ballpark on Sunday. Not only do we have a logo baseball giveaway that fans can get on the way into the ballpark for Father's Day, but you can use that baseball to play catch on the field with Dad after the game as well. So a lot of great stuff from Tuesday through Sunday against the AAA affiliate of the Boston Red Sox.
Pat, I got to ask this question because we started the show very goofy in this manner. Would you wait more than 5 minutes for Dippin' Dots?
Ice cream of the future? That's today? I mean, if you follow my social media, you know I'm not afraid to get a ice cream helmet Sunday. So,
oh yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I would wait more than 5 minutes if it came in a helmet. I guess to be determined.
Pat Malacaro trying to help the ice cream of the future in the present. All right, Pat, I'll let you go, but it's always good to hear from you. And if anyone ever wants to hear more from the Bisons, you can listen on our sister station, The Bet 1520. Pat, good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
That's Pat Malacaro on the West Sur Hotline. As he said, Bisons return home on Tuesday for a six-game stretch against Worcester, which is just got to be one of the weirdest ways to spell a name versus saying a name, because it looks like Worcester, but it's not. It's Worcester. Like, what? We were talking about how the Stanley Cup Final bludgeons the English language. This bludgeons it to death. And I'm not going to worry more about this. Why? Because the Booty Cheek of the Week is coming up next. You know, the Booty Cheek of the Week is happening, and my brother is literally calling me right now, and I kind of want to make him the Booty Cheek of the Week for this. In live time, just like keep talking.
Just to call him and just answer the phone while he's on the
air. I'm just gonna start talking right now, keep it off speaker, and then, oh, he hung up on me. But this is the Booty Cheek of the Week, and I have one. It was a light week for our contestants of stupidity every week. I mean, we didn't get a whole heck of a lot going on here. Luckily, that's good, right? Struggling to find things for this segment is a good thing for society.
Amen.
Right?
But it's also good for society to get that frustration off.
It's good for content to have it.
Yes. But also, it's good for your mental health to just let it all out.
Yes. But at the same time, I do think it's better for society that we don't have the stressors of constantly having to juggle through and, like, sift through for how many of them we have to pick from. Sifting through to find one is so much easier on us. And for me, it's Drake. Why is it Drake, everyone asks? And by everyone, I mean no one. Why is it Drake? Well, he just put a $500,000 bet on the Edmonton Oilers to win the Stanley Cup final. So congratulations to the Florida Panthers.
Oh, what's wrong with that? Come on.
The Drake curse is very real. It's real.
Is he a Toronto Maple Leafs fan?
He's from Canada.
I know he's from Canada.
So he's going to represent his country.
But he's from Toronto.
Yes, but again,
he's a global ambassador for the Raptors.
So either he knows the jinx is real and is spiting Edmonton.
I think he knows the jinx is real because
that's worse because
I've heard when he watched the game 7 where Kawhi hit the shot, he was wearing a 76ers pants or shorts. So I think he knows that this is real.
Then that means you're using your powers for evil, and I don't like that.
but he kind of works for the Raptors. I also
The Raptors one, he's using those powers for good.
Yes.
Right now, he's using them for evil.
I don't know. I can't get mad at someone who's putting... And if he wins, it's not like he's betting on
and
the
it's
favorite.
Different. Here's the other thing. Putting $500,000 on a bet when you're Drake is very much expendable income. That's like me putting $5
right
on a bet like
this
that.
This isn't like he's...
He's putting down money he can easily afford to lose. So I'm not going after that part. I'm going after the fact that the Drake curse is real. So congratulations to the Florida Panthers. I hate everything. That's how it goes. Oh, my brother's calling me again. As I answer the phone here with my brother, I'm just going to say it right now. I'm doing live radio, and I hope he hears all of that. So... I'm making sure to hold the phone away from the microphone so that he doesn't get on the air, and I'm saying that I'm doing live radio. Hang up, Devin.
They hang up.
So, yeah, I'm having way too much fun with this. Brayton's got to get me back on track. Brayton Wilson joins us for the second and the third hour as a co-host here. We'll talk plenty of hockey, but also we'll get to the burning question of the day, the trolley car problem. And what does it mean? We'll get to that next on WGR.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You know, the Booty Cheek of the Week is happening, and my brother is literally calling me right now. And I kind of want to make him the booty cheek of the week for this. In live time, just like keep talking.
Just to call him and just answer the phone while he's on the
air. I'm just gonna start talking right now, keep it off speaker, and then he hung up on me. But this is the booty cheek of the week. And I have one. It was a light week for our contestants of stupidity every week. I mean, we didn't get a whole heck of a lot going on here. Luckily, that's good, right? Struggling to find things for this segment is a good thing for society.
Amen.
Right?
But it's also good for society to get that frustration off.
No. It's good for content to have it.
Yes, but also it's good for your mental health to just let it all out.
Yes, but at the same time, I do think it's better for society that we don't have the stressors of constantly having to juggle through and like sift through for how many of them we have to pick from. Sifting through to find one is so much easier on us. And for me, it's Drake. Why is it Drake? Everyone asks. And by everyone, I mean no one. Why is it Drake? Well, he just put a $500,000 bet on the Edmonton Oilers to win the Stanley Cup final. So congratulations to the Florida Panthers.
Oh, what's wrong with that? Come on.
The Drake curse is very real. It's real.
Is he a Toronto Maple Leafs fan?
He's from Canada.
I know he's from Canada.
So he's going to represent his country.
But he's from Toronto.
Yes, but again,
he's a global ambassador for the Raptors.
So either he knows the jinx is real and is spiting Edmonton.
I think he knows the jinx is real because because I've heard when the like he watched the game 7 where Kawhi hit the shot, he was wearing a 76ers pants or shorts. So I think he knows that this is real.
Then that means you're using your powers for evil, and I don't like that.
But he kind of works for the Raptors. I also
The Raptors one, he's using those powers for good.
Yes.
Right now, he's using them for evil.
I don't know. I can't get mad at someone who's putting... And if he wins, it's not like he's betting on
and
the
it's
favorite.
Different. Here's the other thing. Putting $500,000 on a bet when you're Drake is very much expendable income. That's like me putting $5
right
on a bet like
this
that.
This isn't like he's...
He's putting down money he can easily afford to lose. So I'm not going after that part. I'm going after the fact that the Drake curse is real. So congratulations to the Florida Panthers. I hate everything. That's how it goes. Oh, my brother's calling me again. As I answer the phone here with my brother, I'm just going to say it right now. I'm doing live radio, and I hope he hears all of that. So... I'm making sure to hold the phone away from the microphone so that he doesn't get on the air, and I'm saying that I'm doing live radio. Hang up, Devin.
They hang up.
So, yeah, I'm having way too much fun with this. Brayton's got to get me back on track. Brayton Wilson joins us for the second and the third hour as a co-host here. We'll talk plenty of hockey, but also we'll get to the burning question of the day, the trolley car problem. And what does it mean? We'll get to that next on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.